Amen. All right, let's go. I want to deal with Isaac this morning. I want to try to get through with this thought, and I want to be a little bit repetitious. So if you'll follow with me this morning, I'm gonna do two or three little things here this morning. I think it'll be a blessing to us, and I'm praying God will help us to do that. In Genesis chapter number 25, now let me turn back over there. In Genesis chapter 25, I want you to look at verse number 11. And it came to pass that after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahori. Here we see the death of Abraham, but God blessing Isaac. I remind you that we're dealing with this subject, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're doing some other Bible characters, and we will, before the rest of the year's out, do some others. But I'd say to you in the first place this morning that the God of Abraham is a God that blesses. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on us this morning. Our Father, you have helped me in days gone by. God, you blessed me in prayer last night. And God, I'm praying that God, what you've done and what you'll do this morning, you get all the glory. Our Father, I confess before you, there's no good thing in me. And God, I pray that you would touch me, feel me. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir and the congregation and Brother Joe Barry this morning. How that blessed our hearts. Now, God, help me speak through me, and I'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The God of Isaac is a God of blessing. In fact, as I was praying last night out here by the crosses, the Holy Ghost of God spoke to me. He said, I'm not only the God that blesses, I am the only blesser. He's the Almighty God. He's the all-wise. He's the all-sufficient one. And he's the only one who blesses. Why, you say, well, Brother Billy, I know of lost people that have abundance. And they have all kind of what we would call blessings. And they don't even know the Lord. Well, in the first place, let me say this to you. The Bible said that God makes it rain on the just and unjust. The God of Isaac is a God who blesses. And as he is the benefactor to all who live on the face of the earth, he sends them rain. Every breath that a lost man breathes came from God. Every time his heart beats, it came from God. Every mouthful of food he ever got, it came from God. God is not only our blesser, but he is the only blesser. He's blessed us in our childhood to protect us. I tell you, I don't know how many times I should have been dead as a teenager, but God protected me, and you could say the same thing. There's a word in the Bible, in theological terms, prevenient grace. It means God expending grace to you. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not ourselves, it's a gift of God. But my salvation experience was not my first experience with grace. It was a graceful God who blessed me and took care of me and protected me until I came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved by the grace of God. He's blessed me. Every mouthful of food you've ever had, your children, your grandchildren, what a blessing. I was thinking about Joe Barry when he was singing, and when I came here, he and Tabitha had four precious little children and had two twin girls, Taylor. And then, I don't know now, the boy might have come later. He might have come after I got here. I can't remember how old he is now. Cameron, I don't remember how old he is. But at any rate, and here he is, a granddaddy, and got four or five rows full of people back there, just like Barry and Miss Frances had. And what a blessing. God's blessed us with children. I was listening to Joe Barry sing this morning, and my heart got full. God, you have blessed me for 28 years to be able to hear that young man sing. I'm glad I had ears. I got my hearing aids on, Mike. I just want you to know that. I got them, and Mike fusses at me because I won't wear my hearing aid. Were you blessed this morning to hear Joe Barry sing? God did that. God blessed him, and God blessed us. What a blessing. He is the God that blesses. Everything you've got, every stitch of clothes you've ever worn, every step you've ever taken, everything you've ever experienced, everything you've ever seen that you counted as beautiful, he blessed you. He's a blesser. Our God is the blesser. The God of Isaac is a God that blesses. But look a little further, please, in chapter 25, if you will. I want to show you something else this morning. He is the God that blesses. But look with me at not only He is a blesser, but, well, let me do this. I don't want to miss this part. I want us to go to chapter number 20. I'm trying to pick out what I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to do. Chapter 26. Look over in chapter 26. He's not only God that blesses us. When you look at the Bible and you read very carefully, you'll find that everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar. He built an altar. He built an altar. Built an altar. And when you come to Isaac, Isaac is a well digger. When God blessed Isaac, and the blessings of God fell on Isaac, he began to walk in his father's step and the same Holy Ghost of God on him. But he was a well digger. Abraham had dug many wells, and for the sake of time, I won't read it all. But he dug many wells, and the enemies of that day came and filled up the wells. Now, let me tell you, you may be a blessing and you may leave behind a heritage, but the devil is going to try to destroy all of your influence and all the blessings. And it's important for those of us who now are following in that generation to redig some wells. I mean, there's some things we need to go back to. We need to go back to some wells. And so he began to redig these wells. And if you've ever read the story, maybe you're familiar with the story here in this passage of Scripture, as he redigs these wells, the enemy comes right behind him and fights over them. They said, that's our water. And then Isaac would go to another place and he'd dig another well, redig another well. And they came and strove with him over that. And he would let them have it, and he'd go on. But for the sake of time, look with me, please, what it says to us in chapter number 20. Skip over to chapter number 26, and let me show you what he says here in chapter number 26 about this well. He comes further, and notice verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. I'll leave off the reading there because I'm going to go to another well. He said, God made room for me. When I was reading that some time ago and studying it, and I said, the God of Isaac is a God who makes room for you. God who makes room for you. If you want to serve God, He'll make room for you. I have sometimes young men who say they're called to preach, and they say, how do you get meetings? How do you get together? I told them I have no idea. All I know is that before our little girl died, God had been dealing with me about preaching. He'd been calling me into the ministry. And it wasn't that I didn't want to obey God. I didn't want to say God had, and He hadn't. I didn't want to begin preaching and then stop or fizzle out or whatever. And I prayed and asked God to help me. And I asked God to help. And whenever our little girl got so sick and she was diagnosed with leukemia, on the way to Duke Hospital, went by my mama's house and she was going to go with us. Me and Regina, we went to Duke. But my daddy had some old chicken houses, and I went out and I got down before the Lord that day. I was just a young man, a teenager really. And I said, Lord, I know You've been called me to preach. And if You'll let Christy live, I'll preach. And when I stood up, it was like a black cloud around me. And the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart. And I got back down and I said, God, please forgive me. I said, Lord, I believe You've called me to preach. I don't want to mess up, but God, I yield myself as much as I know how to be obedient to You. I'll preach wherever You open a door. And when I stood up, boy, God, the Holy Ghost had blessed me. I had a time. And from that day to this, God's kept His word. I've never, ever asked to preach anywhere. I hadn't politicked to preach anywhere. And young preachers want to know, how you do this? I said, I don't know. All I know is I told Him I'd give Him all I had. And if He'd open the door, I'd go. That's all I know. And you know what God's done over all these years? He's made room for me. He made room for me. He had me a place. I've never, ever wanted to go to a church. You say, you didn't want to go when you came here? Not in the sense that I hear some preachers talking about, boy, I'd love to go yon, I'd love to go there. Not at all. I wanted to do the will of God. And once I know it's the will of God, I'm tickled to death about it. But not just to go. Not that I'd rather be here or yon or somewhere else. But I found out that God opened the door for you. And if God's called you into any kind of ministry, He'll open a door. You say, well, I don't like to be in a big church because there's so many people. But I'm going to tell you, God will make room for you. There's plenty to do around here. And if you'll just let God help you and direct you, He'll open a door. He'll make room. Our God's a God who makes room for us, gives us a place to serve. Notice what it says further about him digging these wells. Isaac was a well digger, and the God of Isaac is one that blesses. And the God of Isaac is one that'll open the door for you. He'll make you room. He'll open it for you. And notice what he says here about this. And so from there, verse 23, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Now watch this. Something's different about this. He's opening these wells. His daddy was an altar builder. His daddy believed in worshiping God first. His daddy believed in praying first. His daddy believed in yielding himself to God first, and then everything else will fall in line. In fact, the Bible said if you'll seek the kingdom of God first, He'll add all these things to you. And notice how he did now, the order of his life. And he built an altar there. When God spoke to him, the first thing he didn't dig a well. He built an altar to worship God. And notice the second thing he did, and he called on the name of the Lord. We mess up everything when we don't seek God first. Somebody said, all we can do now is pray. That's a wrong order. Prayer is not your last resort. It is your first resource. You pray first. You seek Him first. Paul said, first of all, prayer, supplication, giving of thanks be made for all men. First thing you do is pray. Then you do the other. He built an altar of worship. And now he seeks God. And God's going to bless him. And he goes on. He sought the name or called on the name of the Lord. And then he pitched his tent. He said, this is a good place to be. Can I tell you, everybody needs a place to be. A place of worship. A place of prayer. My dear friend, he'd found it. This is where he pitched his tent. And it says this, and Isaac's servants digged a well. They dug another well now, water to supply them and nourish them and strengthen them. But he got the order right. He worshiped first. He sought God in prayer. He settled in and plugged in, and then he dug the well. And now he's blessed of God. The God of Abraham is a God that will bless you. He's a God that will open the door for you. But he said here in this passage of Scripture, I am God and I'll be with you. Here's the last thing I want to emphasize to you. Look at your Bible there where you are. He said in verse number 24, the Lord appeared unto him and same night he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father. Fear not. Look at these five words. For I am with thee. The God of Isaac is the God that will be with you. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He comes into your heart. I forgot to think in this morning early about these words. It's five of them. For I am with thee. You know what five is in the Bible? I've told you 1,000 times. You ought to remember by now. Five is the number of grace. God has came to him. That's grace. God spoke to him. That's grace. And he said, for I am with thee. That's grace. When God comes to us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. When you ask Christ to come in your heart and save you, that's exactly what He did. He came inside of you, and He'll be with you now. He says in another place, I will never leave thee. That's five. That's the number of grace. And when He came in to be with you, He said, I will never leave thee. That's grace. And the fact that He's with us is awesome. Now, I want to just, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want you to be late for lunch either. I'm going to deal with Jacob. But Isaac, in the next few chapters, is going to bless his boys. He's going to bestow blessing on them. If you think back, and I'll deal with it when I deal with Jacob. Jacob stole the birthright of Esau in our eyes. But when he was, before he was born, his mama told him that inside of your womb, there are two nations and there are two different kind of people. And he said the younger one will rule the elder. In other words, Jacob, who was born second, they were twins, Jacob and Esau. But when Jacob was born, he was the second one born. Esau, in tradition, would be the head of the house. But Jacob was born second. But the Holy Ghost told her ahead of time, and I don't have any answer to this other than God chose him, chose Jacob. And Jacob held on to Esau's heel when he was born. I mean, just when the twins were born, he held on to his brother's heel. And later in life, just when they were younger men, Esau goes out hunting and he comes in and he said, I'm about to starve to death. And he said, give me some of your porridge. And Jacob said, if you'll give me your birthright, I'll give you the porridge. And Esau says this, I'm going to die soon. What good would that promise do me? And he takes the porridge and gives his birthright to his brother. Now, I got to deal with this later. I'm like, Brother Barry, I'm out of time, but I'm going to take a few more minutes. That birthright was a spiritual leadership of that family. He was to become the spiritual leader of that house. Not only that, Abraham, when Isaac was born, the Bible says that Abraham gave Isaac all that he had. And so all that Isaac has now goes to Jacob because Esau forfeited that right. But now fast forward. Isaac is dying, or he thinks he is. He lives 40 years. And so he wants to bless him. And God's already told his wife, and he's had to know it, that God's chosen Jacob to be the head of the house, and Esau has forfeited that right. But now he's dying, and so he wants to give the blessing to Esau. If you read the scriptures carefully, you'll know why. It said that Isaac loved the venison that Esau brought to him. It was a fleshly thing, a fleshly thing. And so he's getting ready to die, and he wants to give the blessing to Esau. But Jacob, his mama hears about it, and then she makes a plan, and you look at it, and it looks like she's conniving and all this, that, and the other. But anyhow, long story short is, Isaac now will pass not only the birthright from Esau to him, but he's going to give his blessing to him. And he'll be the head of family socially, not only religiously, but socially. The brothers and all his siblings will serve him, and he'll be the leader of that family. And more importantly, through him will come the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac yielded to the flesh, but God turned it around. And here's what I want you to see. You don't hear anything out about Isaac after that until he dies. 40 years. 40 years. I don't know if it's what you call God put him on the shelf or what, but there's nothing recorded after he tried to bless Esau and God turned it around and had Jacob blessed. And you don't hear anything out of Isaac until he dies way over in chapter number 35. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to live the last years of my life on a shelf. Paul said, I keep my body subject lest I become a castaway. Not lose your salvation, but the word castaway means unusable. I wonder if there's anybody in this building this morning that has yielded to the flesh and done things in the flesh. And Brother Barry mentioned this morning, I wonder how many times you can disobey God. How many times you can say, nevertheless. And the Lord said, how long before you believe? I wonder if you get to that point where maybe you have disobeyed God and yielded to the flesh, that God's took his hand off of you. You hadn't lost your salvation, but he set you on a shelf. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to stay there. I'm going to tell you that's what revival is all about. It's about getting right with God and getting back in service. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. And what ultimately happens is that Jacob will be the blessed one. And God worked it out where he could do that. In spite of all the conniving, everything went on, God was in control the whole time. Now, I'm going to give you two little truths, and I want this to get in. This is what God put in my heart to just say to you this morning. It's very simple. What makes the difference is God's divine presence. God's divine presence. I will be with thee. And then God's divine purpose. God accomplishes his purpose. You can be assured that whatever God's purpose to do, I often say, and other people have said, and the Holy Ghost of God prompted me one time, that God was trying to do something. God is not trying to do anything. God is just doing according to the counsel of his own will. I promise you, he's working it out. You may fail, and I may fail, but God's going to accomplish his purpose. And the Bible says of Isaac, when he did die, just like his daddy, he died in good old age, and he was gathered to his people. Regardless of he lied about his wife, he acted in the flesh about the blessings, but yet God accomplished his purpose, and God took him home, and I'm thankful. But you can hang this, your hat on this, you can take it to the bank. His divine presence. He's with you in good times and in bad. He's with you in sickness and in health. He's with you in poverty and in wealth. He's with you in what we call failure and in what we call success. And he said, I'll never leave thee. He's always there. Somewhere in the shadows, you'll see him if you look. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And when the devil slips up behind you and said, you've sinned and you've got so far away from God and you're so just, God hadn't left you. God hadn't moved. It's you. You away from him. But he didn't leave you. He promised divine presence. I will be with thee. No matter what you do, Isaac, you're my child. I've chosen you. You're part of the lineage. You're going to be part of the lineage of my son. And I will fulfill my divine purpose. I want you to know God's got a plan. And he's going to accomplish that plan in your life and my life. I want you to live your life with this confidence. He's with me. He's with me. And sometimes I talk to him and he talks back. And sometimes I talk to him and it seems like the heavens brass and he doesn't answer me. But if I believe this in my heart and it's a divine truth, he's with me. I say to him sometime, Lord, I can't feel you and I can't hear you, but I know you're there. I know you're listening. I know you love me. I know you care. I don't understand why this has happened. I don't understand this sickness, this problem, this, that, and the other. But God, I know you're there. And I know this, like Joseph, the devil may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God's working out his purpose in your life and my life. And when we get to heaven, The Bible says it will all be for the praise and the glory of His grace. I won't be able to boast about anything. And as I've gone through and studied these Bible characters, I began to see how human they were. But it is not Abraham that we pattern our life after. It is not Isaac that we pattern our life after, but it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we believe and know that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or to think. He's the God that blesses. He's the God that will make room for you. He is the God that will not forsake you. He's the God that will be with you until the end. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You now for the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, the wonderful song service, the choir, the songs that God, You laid on Linwood's heart. Those are my favorite songs too, just a closer walk with You. Lord, I thank You, God, that all we need, all anybody in this building who knows Christ needs is a closer walk with the Lord. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would draw people up close to You. I pray, Lord, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, girl in this building, I pray they'd understand that while You're a God of grace and Your blessings are on them even, that's not salvation. There has to come a time when everybody recognizes they are a sinner and by faith turns to You and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Only then will the Holy Spirit of God come in. Only then will the Holy Spirit of God be the earnest. Only then will the Holy Ghost of God seal them. And You'll promise to them, I will be with thee. I will never forsake thee. Lord, I'm glad that there's been times in my life when I failed You, when I failed myself. There's been times, Lord, when I've seen Your presence and power and felt like I was just standing back watching You do something. But God, as I've studied the life of Abraham and Isaac and Noah, I understand that they were all just real men, just like us. But You're God. And it's the God of Adam, the God of Noah, the God of Enoch, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God that blesses, the God that made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God, it's not us, it's You. And we trust You. Lord, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Noah, the God of all the Old Testament and the New Testament people is still the same. You still bless us. And though we disobey You and we fail You, You promise not to ever leave us. Thank You for Your chastening hand. That God, You do deal with us about our sin, not because You are mad at us or angry or hate us, because You want us to be close to You and have that blessed peace and joy that You've promised to us. And God, I pray, God, that You'd make that real for every believer in this building. And God, once again, I pray that if there's a man or woman, boy, girl in this building that's not saved, I pray they'd ask Jesus right now, call on Him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. And I believe, God, You will, and I know You will. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, Brother Linwood, would you just sing one verse? We're going to remain seated. I want you to deal with God. Let God deal with you. If you're a believer and God spoke to you some way, you may be like me. I often get under conviction when somebody's preaching, God speaks to my heart. I want to respond to it immediately. So I ask God right then, as soon as I hear it preached, oh God, please forgive me. That's me, that's me, that's me. Oh God, please forgive me. And then there's times that God nudges me. I want you to go bow before me at that altar. I don't know if you want to do that this morning or not. But if you're saved this morning, I want you to know that you can be, if you'll God will help you. If you've got a burden, a need, God wants to revive you, stir you, bless you. If you're lost, He wants to save you this morning. And I invite you this morning to come receive Christ as your Savior.